If you're a guest here, do you have like 15 speakers? No, we have a family that brings communication to us as the family to hear what the Lord is saying. And so if this is new to you, good. It's a good thing. So, hey, we're going to start this morning. I had like a funny introduction. I thought it was funny. But instead of being funny in introduction, let's just go to a video clip. And the whole purpose of the clip, prayerfully, is that you and I laugh together. Okay? So let's show the video clip.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes?
I'm trying to find the Turboman doll.
Me too.
Do you have any more in the back? What? I see that. What did
this
say?
These guys are looking for a Turbo Man?
A gentleman dog, yes.
They're looking for Turbo Man.
Hey, everybody. These two are looking for a Turbo Man.
Turbo Man.
Now, what's so funny?
Where have you guys been? Turbo Man's only the hottest selling Christmas toy ever. But you know what? We got plenty of Turbo Man's faithful saber-tooth tiger booster.
Where's your Christmas spirit? That's better. Now, there must be a Turbo Man around here somewhere.
The last one just left. Some lady had it on layaway.
A lady? What lady?
Just a short, with a fur coat.
Fur coat.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, buddy.
Give me this.
Hey!
This is war. Poor baby.
Turbo Man.
Ha! Hey, lady! Hey, hold it! Wait! Wait, lady! I need the Turbo Man!
So there may be some shortages this Christmas. I pray you don't act like that. Good tidings of great joy. We're going after joy specifically this month. This morning we're going to be looking at Jesus' life, just three snapshots of his life, real quick. And remember, joy is that place of delight, gladness. We're recognizing God's grace in a situation. It's leaning into favor. It's leaning into his goodness. And joy is not, as Josh was saying, joy isn't happiness. Joy is something that comes from within. And it's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. It's how the fruit of the Spirit operates in our lives. It's joy. And so we don't want to make up joy. We want to live an authentic joy. And this morning we're going to see a pattern of Jesus' life from the beginning, the middle, and the end. We're going to see a pattern that we can learn from. And then we've got a special thing we want to do together at the very end of the service. So if you'll go with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. It's good to have my wife at church today. We've been praying for her. I was concerned for her salvation. Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This morning, as we start off with joy, I was struck by some words, and I have read this story hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. But there's something that really struck me as I read it again these last couple weeks. That the text indicates that when Jesus, the moment that Jesus was born, an angel appeared to some shepherds who had had no idea that a special event took place except for the pronouncement. And it always interests me. I ask questions when I read the scripture. What will the angel say? Why did he not say, hey guys, Jesus is born. This is the fulfillment of Isaiah. This is the fulfillment of Ezekiel. How come he used these words? Why these words? And when he pronounced to the people, these shepherds, he said, I'm going to give you some good news. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is always good news. And if we can turn the gospel into bad news, we're mucking it up. Because the gospel is always good news, and the effect of good news is this. It should be great joy. That we as people who were far away from God, we as people who have sinned and missed the mark, here's the good news. A Savior has been born. And what struck me is this, because my wife and I, we've had three children in our lifetime, but the angels, so I'm gonna tie these together. The angel said, I love these words. He says, I bring you good news of great joy that'll be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. When Deb and I had our children, we never had one friend or family member come up and say, we had a baby. This is awesome. What are we going to do with our baby? They celebrated that we had a child. They celebrated that we had a baby, but no one identified our child as theirs. And the angel said, the Savior wasn't born just to Joseph and Mary. The Savior was born to you. That the reason why Jesus came was for you. And you go, well, Mike, of course. But understand something, the impact and the power of this. That Jesus came to you. The reason he came to this earth was for you and for me. And it's supposed to be good news of great joy. A Savior is born to you. This good news has been spoken of before by a prophet. And I'm going to read this in Isaiah chapter 9. These words of a prophet thousands of years before the angel proclaimed, the Savior is born to you. Listen to the words of Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 9, where he says, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. You know what? The beautiful thing about Jesus, why he brings such joy, and we're going to finish his names, is that whatever you need in your life to be a person of joy, Jesus Christ is. You don't have to look somewhere else to find a wonderful counselor, because Jesus is that wonderful counselor. If you need someone who is the Prince of Peace, if you're struggling with peace in your life, guess what? He's the ruler of it. He's the Prince of peace, of the increase of his, he's the everlasting Father. That if you say, Mike, I need a dad in my life, I need a father in my life who will love me and cheer me on and say, I believe in you and I've got great confidence in you. Guess what? To you, a son was born. And what will that son be to you? He'll be an everlasting Father. And he will also be the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. When Isaiah prophesied this, when the angel proclaimed the day that Jesus was born, it was the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9, that there he is. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Show me some teeth, everybody. Why did he come? Why did Jesus do this? For God so loved the world. Come on, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he, only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish. For you, for you, for you, for you, for me. That's why he came. John 3:17 says he didn't come to condemn the world, but through him to save us. We're already condemned. That's what sin did in our lives. We are sinners. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us has missed the mark. Every one of us. And so God doesn't leave us by ourselves. What does he do? He loves us enough to have a child born for us. And now 2,000 years later, we're still proclaiming to you a child was born. And what does that bring? Good news. We're not stuck. We're not stuck to ourselves. We're not stuck to try to figure life out. We're not stuck just trying to make heads or tails of life. No, to us a son was given. And he is Christ the Lord. So the first thing is this. Good tidings of great joy. Secondly, boy, this is going to be a short sermon. Someone say amen to that. We've already had it. Josh already preached my third point, so I'm done. Well done. That was good. Here's the other thing. So joy, say joy for me. Say it again. Joy for me. Here's the second thing. About the middle of Jesus' life, he receives joy when we get it. I sat in church for years and didn't get it. I went to Sunday school. I heard the messages. I saw people physically healed, and I didn't get it until I was about 16, 17 years old, and I got it. I finally got it, that God loved me. I heard it, I saw it. I played the drums on our worship team on Sundays. I was in leadership of my youth group, and I hadn't got it yet. What did I get? I got it that he loved me. And we find in Luke chapter 10, if you'll go there. Luke chapter 10, Jesus had more than 12 people who followed him. And in Luke chapter 9, we see Jesus sending out the 12 disciples. And in Luke chapter 10, we see him send out 72 disciples. And these 72 go out, and Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, and tell them the kingdom of God is near. Well, they come back. We don't know how long they were gone for. They come back, and they are super excited. So read with me the account, and I'm going to grab a drink of water. Luke 10:17. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And have you ever noticed in reading the scripture how someone says one thing and Jesus kind of says something over here? It's like, here's the question and Jesus answers over here. It's kind of a, Jesus does this here. They go, Lord, the demons submit to us in your name. They're all excited. They're full of joy. And look at what Jesus' response. He says in verse 18, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Well, that's good. But what does that mean? And I'm going to do a little side note here real quick. Because Jesus doesn't dampen their joy, but he corrects their joy. In verse 18, here's my side note. This is from a taunt song that was written in Isaiah chapter 14. When the king of Babylon fell, when the morning star fell, and we see it in Revelation chapter 12 as well. When Satan and his angels fight against Michael and his angels, and he's defeated and cast to the earth. Jesus is saying something here that any time we see people healed, saved, delivered, set free, whenever we see people get it, it's a reminder to our enemy, he has lost. So, what I was going to do at this moment, I was going to pray for the sick. Because when we get well, it's a reminder that the enemy is lost and Jesus has won. And so what does Josh do? He says, if you've got an issue, let's pray for you right now. And what we just did, we made a declaration to the enemy. Hey, you fell like lightning. You lost. You are never going to win this thing. And we need to continue to pray for the sick. We need to continue to bring deliverance. We need to continue to whisper the gospel. We need to continue to bring hope to people. Why? Because every time somebody gets it, it's reminding to our Satan that he lost. I think that's what we're going like this for. He has been cast down. He doesn't have the authority. It's not like God is here and Satan's here and we're kind of in the middle. It's like God is here and Satan has been under our feet. And he needs to be reminded over and over and over again. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ today and you're in this room, you say, Mike, I'm kind of figuring it out. I'm not sure. Guess what? There is great joy, Luke chapter 15. There is great joy in heaven when one person says they get it. They respond to Jesus and they say, I want him into my life. The Bible says there is such joy in heaven when one person says yes to Jesus. I get it. He loves me. He's my Savior. I get it. At that moment, the Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice. There's such joy when we get it. Never stop reading the Word of God, because as you get it and it changes your life, I believe God, well, we'll get there. So Jesus says, he says this about Satan, and then he says this, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Now, this is not literally go outside, find a rattlesnake and go, oh, you are not, you know, don't do that. These are imagery of evil. These are imagery of things that we are, that are evil in the world. And Jesus says, I have given you authority to trample on those things. And he says this, he says, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Listen to this. You have been given authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. Thank you, thank you. You have been given authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. I'm going to do it one more time. Why you? Here's why. Because unto you a son has been given. Why you? Because Jesus came and has given you all the authority to overcome the enemy. You're not a pawn. You're not a victim. You're not this person like, he's just attacking me. No. We're in a spiritual battle, yeah. But I have given you all the authority to overcome evil. But then he says this, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Here's the reality of it. We don't rejoice because of this, we have authority. We rejoice because we are identified as his children. That in heaven, there is your name written. We see it in Revelation chapter 20. We see your name written. Mike Richardson, mine. Josh Pallon, still Mike's sermon, but still mine. It's all good. He knows I'm playing. We are his kids. That's what we rejoice about. And notice that the disciples didn't say this. Here's what I like to read sometimes. What did the disciples didn't say, Jesus, guess what? All these people got set free in your name. Jesus, all these people got healed in your name. See, it became about, I have authority. Look, and Jesus goes, let's flip this a little bit. Jesus is excited that they were used, that the disciples were used by the power of the Holy Spirit. But that wasn't the excitement. It was this, you belong to me. That's will never be taken away from us. And it brings joy. And Jesus also didn't say, man, I'm a pretty good rabbi. I've taught these people well. Look what I've done. I am good. I'm nailing it. Joy doesn't come from us focusing on us. Joy comes from us focusing on others. If you want to kill joy in your life, think about too much about yourself. You want to kill it? I'm telling you, how come I didn't get that? How come I? How I'm there always? And it will kill joy in you. But when you live a life of others, others-centered, others-focused, guess what happens? That love will produce a joy because it's not about you. It's about them. I wish the disciples, the 72, to come back and said, Jesus, in your name, old Billy Bob Joe Fred over there got well. Isn't that great what God did in his life? But no, it was about them. And Jesus goes, it's not about us. What is about us? We are his children. What's not about us is what God did. Look at me. Look what I did. Look what I did. No. It's what God did in you. And when we get it, he's excited. Now look at me. Verse 21. At that very time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Now, let me describe what this word means. It means this: to jump for joy, to show or feel a lively or triumphant joy. Rejoice exceedingly, to be highly elated or jubilant. Too often we see Jesus like this. At that time, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, said, I am so excited. Yay. I'm holy. I am perfect. I can't express to you the joy I'm feeling right now. I am having the greatest time I've ever had in my life. Can you see Jesus jumping up and down? He was the first moonwalker because he invented the moon. Can you see Jesus dancing and celebrating and jumping and laughing and spinning? In fact, the prophet Zechariah says this: God rejoices over us with singing. Can you picture God going, that's my Jennifer. If I danced better, I would dance. I would just look stupid on camera, so I'm not going to do too much. But can you imagine Jesus full of joy? Why? Because they got it. Can you picture how excited Jesus is when you and I get it? That we're set free from fear. That we're walking this process of maturity and becoming like him. Can you believe that Jesus probably does a jig? Do you see Jesus that way, or do you see Jesus as the ogre who's always figuring out when you muck it up and mess it up? I knew you would. Yeah, you promised you wouldn't do that again. We both know that's not true, loser. Jesus rejoices over us. That alone should bring joy to your life. Yes. When we get it. My best way I can describe this is in September, Deb and I went over our son and daughter-in-law of their house, Lucas. Have I ever told you I'm a grandparent? Have I told you that? Have I mentioned that maybe once? It's the best. So we go over, we're going to go to the fair. And as we got there, Jerrica says to Lucas, show Papa what you're learning. And they've been teaching him how to walk. So he would take a step and then go right to crawling. And then he grabbed the furniture. You know that part where you go around the furniture and then he goes to crawling. So she says to us, he has taken two steps. So watch. So I go, come on, Lucas, come on. And he walks 6, 7, 8 steps to me. Now he walked like a monkey. You know, it's like one of these, you know, orangutan walk. But as he's walking and he falls into my arms and everybody goes, look at Lucas! Look, he's walking! Oh! And then there's Nanu. Walk to Nanu! And the monkey walk over to Nanu and then falls into his arms. And everyone's laughing. The camera comes out. Pictures are being taken. Videos are being sent. Because he got it. Now watch. I'm 58. Watch this. Did it all on my own. 58, not a big deal. When you're one, it's a big deal. But the beauty of it is, it doesn't matter how old or young you are. When you get it, there's celebration. And there was, you have four adults looking at a one-year-old screaming and clapping and yelling and hugging and saying, great job! And all he did was take six steps. But he got it. Why was Jesus excited? Because these 72 just simply chose to trust him and to believe in what he said. And they went out without him and did what he said. And they came back and said, Jesus, it's true what you said. And all those who were the wise, all those who were the learned, they missed it. Because Jesus said, you revealed it to these little children. He wasn't talking about their age. He was talking about their innocence and their faith. And dear ones, celebrate when you get it. And let us celebrate with you. But it's no big deal. It's a huge deal. Whatever and whenever you get it, we celebrate it with you. Because I believe we join with Jesus. Peter says it this way, and then we're on our third point. In 1 Peter 1, he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I have never once physically seen Jesus, but I believe with him in all my heart. And Peter says, when we believe with him, the evidence of our belief in him is that we are filled with an inexpressible and a glorious joy. So how's your joy meter? A lot of times it's what you're looking at. It's what you're focusing on. But it's a great indicator, kind of like when your car light engine comes on, check engine, you just don't thump it off. You know there's something that needs to be looked at. Joy is a great indicator to see where you're at in your walk with him. And I'm not talking, we don't go through seasons of loss or seasons where we're suffering or seasons where a loved one passed away. I'm not talking about we don't grieve and go, it's okay, it's God's on the throne. We feel things deeply, but in the overall arch of our life, the joy is supposed to be an indicator of how we are doing. Joy is supposed to be in our marriages. Joy is supposed to be in our families. Joy is supposed to be in our church because we're getting it. We're getting it. We believe in him. And last, so here we have the bookends. Jesus came with great joy for us, not for himself, for us. And then Josh quoted the verse in Hebrews chapter 12. So let's go there together. Hebrews chapter 12. So the book of Hebrews were written to Hebrew Christians who are being tempted because of persecution to revert back to Judaism. They're being tempted to go back to the law and the sacrifices and living that way because the Roman government gave the Jewish people an exemption from emperor worship. Because they knew that if the Jews were going to be forced to worship the emperor, there's going to be a war. So the Romans just said, hey, let's just let them worship God their own way. They don't have to do this. But the Christian community did not have that same exemption. And so now here's this temptation. Well, let's be Christians, but let's go back to the Judeo way of living. And the writers crafts this letter expressing how great Jesus is and why they should not go back to Judaism. And then chapter 11, that famous of faith, that chapter of faith, he gives them letters and examples of these great people of faith who shut the mouths of lions and conquered kingdoms by faith. And others, though, they were tortured and they were lived in holes in the ground and God commended all of them for their faith. And then in chapter 12, he goes, now after all this, chapter 12 is the culmination. Now here's what we are to do with this. And he says in verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Great sermon topic by itself. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Jennifer did a great job. Remember last week? when she was ringing the bell, and she's talking about those kids are running, and other kids would help them along and say, we're going to finish together, and parents are cheering them on. Remember, that was such a beautiful scene, and this is what Hebrews 12 is talking about. It's like, let's fix our eyes somewhere. Let's not fix our eyes on things that get us distracted, but let us encourage each other. Let's run together this race, because all of us want to finish. It doesn't matter if you finish first or last, you just want to finish. And the writer of Hebrews shows us how. He says this: let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the beginner, the alpha, and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The cross was the worst form of death the Romans had invented. No, they didn't invent, they adopted. As a Roman citizen, you would be guaranteed you would never die this way, because the humiliation and the horror of it was such to a degree that as a Roman citizen, you would be exempted from it. So Jesus, when he died, it was the most horrific way of dying and the most humiliating way to die. Our Lord and Savior, to you a son was given. Unto you a child, who's Christ the Lord. Now, at the other end of his life, hanging naked on a cross with people shouting at him, if you are the Son of God, come down and we'll believe in you. He started here. He came for us. And now he endures the cross. And the author doesn't say who is. Who is the who for the joy set before him. It's not for what, it's for who. It's for someone. It's for something. It's for somebody. And he writes us in Hebrews chapter, he writes us and we really know who it is. The answer is thus. That Jesus, the reason why the cross was a place of joy was not because of the suffering and the humiliation, but because you and I, it was the only way for you and I to come back into relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was through his sacrificial death on the cross. He took what we all deserved. So the who is you. The best way I think we can understand it is Jesus' words in John chapter 16. Where he says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because her joy that a child is born into the world. The very thing, a baby that causes the pain, is the cause for joy. Now women, thank God I'm a man. As I said many times, I would be the last of the generation I would say no to having children, because I saw and I've seen what my wife went through. Dear Lord Jesus. Wow. Do you guys still remember the pain of childbirth? Jeff asked an interesting question. Is it guys or gals? I'm going to go with gals. Do you still remember the pain? Right? Why was it worth it? Because what you brought into the life, into your life, was a joy. The very instrument that brought Jesus pain, the cross, was the instrument of his joy. Why? It was worth it. It was so worth it to him. So that we can go, Father. That we can sing some songs, not to a deity that doesn't exist, but to one who walks and is amongst us even now. It was worth it. It was joy. It was we were the ones. So, Mike, what is this about? We need to learn from this, guys. We can learn from our Savior. He didn't come to the earth for himself. He came to the earth for us. He wasn't excited for himself when the disciples got it. He was excited for them. And when he came, went to the cross, it wasn't for him. He had no sin. It was for us. So as we launch off the month of joy, and hopefully it goes into 2022 as well, there is this picture we see from our Savior that joy comes not from looking inward, but from looking outward. Joy is not like, I get all I want. Joy is, what can I give away? Joy is not denying what's going on, but it's also not letting it consume our lives so we can't see outward to others. So let me close. There's a little quote. Words I would change a little bit different, but I don't want to change the quote. And it's from a Chinese proverb. And it goes like this. If you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help somebody. For centuries, the greatest thinkers have suggested the same thing. Happiness is found in helping others. Helping others helps us build connections, which are essential for happiness. We need to be in relationships to find true joy. This means caring about others and taking the focus away from ourselves. It means not being isolated, but instead getting involved in the lives of those around you. And that's Philippians chapter 2. So with that being said, Pastor Jeff is going to join me. I'm going to ask our elders if you'll join us up here in the front. Those who are here, come on up. We want to present to Echo Hills Church an opportunity to be dispensers of joy. Who are we missing? Marnie? Is Marnie coming? Pastor Jeff.
We want to send you out of here with an opportunity that might seem odd. You might never have done this. But our elders are going to pass out an envelope. And we want to make sure that you each get one if you're 18 or older. I know there's some kids in the room. Parents, we're going to ask that you get your kids involved. But inside this envelope is an opportunity for you to bless somebody else. And what I'm going to ask is that this week you hold that envelope and you pray over it, that you pray about it. Because in that envelope is a $20 bill. And what we want you to do is to consider bringing a message of joy into the life of someone else financially. Because right now, things have been hard. Things are tough. You might be sitting here going, I'm not sure how I can pay my own bills. I'm not sure how I'm going to cover maybe your generosity to bless your family with gifts and stuff. $20 is not a lot, but it can be significant when it's given to the Lord. And what we're asking is that this week, don't give it away yet. Hold it, pray over it. Next Sunday, when I teach, I'll give you some more insight and some ideas about how to go about blessing someone, because this is what we don't want to have happen. Oh, hey, oh, your name's Josh, here's $20, great, see you later. And they have no understanding of the significance. The other thing that we want to make sure that doesn't happen is that you don't miss out on the opportunity to hear the Lord. Because the greatest gift is in knowing Jesus Christ personally. Because again, if it's just about $20, it's not a big deal. But if it's about learning to hear the Lord and obey the Lord, that's life-changing. And what we hope to have happen over the next month is that as you go about praying, looking around, one of the things you might want to start doing as you pray and consider is that the Lord would show you somebody. It's the whole idea of fixing your eyes, looking beyond your own suffering, and seeing something set before you that brings you joy. Maybe it's a mom who's single and has three kids, and you watch her work, Maybe it's that coworker that really has just been putting out and struggling with family and finances and all of that. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's a relative that lives someplace else and you decide to mail it. The other thing you might consider doing, and what we want you to pray about this week as you look at that envelope, Lord, would you have me add anything to this? As a family, because some of you are here as couples, that'll be $40 for you. You might consider partnering with another couple or somebody else in this room and go, what if we pooled our money and together we came up with $100 to bless somebody that we know that's in need? What if we each added $10 more to this? It's about hearing from the Lord and obeying. Some of you with kids, what we'd like for you to consider is possibly taking that $20 and maybe breaking it down into smaller denominations, whether it's fives or ones, and getting your kids involved in such a manner that you lay it out on the table and go, here's $20, here's $40, we're going to add $10 more to it. We've got $50 on the table. Who do you think we could bless? Yes. Who do you think we could step into their life and bring them a message? Because what we will talk about next week and what we want you to consider is that it's not about just handing them some money. It's about bringing the message of Jesus Christ. And if you just consider it this way, and then we're going to pray for you and get an envelope in your hand, is that money, currency, can be used to buy both good and bad, right? I mean, I can go to the store, $20, and I can spend it on something that's bad. And, you know, no judgment, but, you know, I consider cigarettes to not be great, you know, drugs not to be good, alcohol not to be great. You know, you could spend it on that stuff, and it's just $20 going towards something bad. Or you can spend it on something good, you know, cabbage or lettuce or steak or, you know, something, you know, healthy, some protein, something, you know, it's just $20. But what you choose to do with it determines a bigger value than $20, right? Will I be healthy or will I be unhealthy? Faith is the currency of heaven. My faith can be in something bad, like, you know what? I'm never going to get well. People are never going to treat me. My past is always going to haunt me. I can put my faith in those things. Satan really hasn't fallen. He's still harassing. Or I can put my faith in the promises that God is good. God does see me. God does love me. It's currency. And the currency we want to give you today is something bigger than just what's in the envelope. It's the opportunity to bring the gospel message into someone's life. And it's not even based on whether they know Jesus or not, because like Pastor Mike just shared, they may have not gotten it, or they may have gotten it but still are in a place where God wants to bless them through you. So 18 years or older, if you guys as elders would please just pass out these envelopes. Go ahead. We want each and every one of you to get one. If we are short, we will make up for that.
Next week, yes.
Next week. In the envelope, the other thing you will see, and again, as you good. Open it up this week, put it out someplace where you'll encounter it, you know, so that you don't lose the $20, but you'll find a testimony card. Because what we want to collect from you is your encounter. And here's the thing, and we'll talk about this the next few weeks, and we'll be reminding you. But that encounter is still glorious, even if it appears like a failure. Well, I felt like the Lord told me to give this money to such and such, and I went up to them, and I blessed them, and I shared with them, and I said what you're going to say to me next week, because I'll preach next week, and we'll talk about this, and nothing happened. That's okay, because the bigger thing is one, you heard from the Lord. Two, you obeyed the Lord, and three, you actually had an opportunity for an encounter that I guarantee you God will use at some point in your life and their life. I've got testimonies in my personal life of things that I did years ago that I thought were total failures or total missteps or just miscues. And I've had people come back and say, hey, you remember that little word you gave me? Well, no, what I remember is the failure. What I remember is I didn't think I was being obedient or God, you know, you misled me. And they're like, no, no, no. And this is part of what I think we've done in the church is we don't celebrate the little things. And please forgive us if we've missed it. If you've come up and gone, man, I read this verse, and this is what it said to me, and you've got the attitude of like, well, of course, that's what it's always said. You know, verses like, oh my gosh, come on, hallelujah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. With no shame, no condemnation, no guilt, no what's wrong with you? Why are you just now getting that? Right. But a sincere, absolute spirit of celebration that goes, come on. Come on, let's see it again. Let's look at it again. And you guys know this, you know, God loves to take our expectation, right? And bring a little bit of an alteration. And in that alteration, what do we get? We get a new revelation. And so the revelation we're after this week, as we send you out, as we commission you, is to look for the opportunity to bring joy. And what we've put in your hand, $20, I mean, you know, for some it's a lot, for many it's not. But in the hands of the Lord, it can be, and we hope it will be, an opportunity for great news. For a great opportunity to celebrate, to see someone blessed, to step out, and as I keep saying this, I'll refer to this again next week, we will talk a little bit about just even how to approach someone. Because you might think like, man, I don't even know how to give someone $20 or $5 or a dollar or, you know, and again, if this is what you choose to do, did everybody get a card? Are we good? Okay, so we'll pray and release you here in a moment. This is the other thing too that I wanted you to be careful of, and I'll probably say it again next week. If you want to go through the drive-thru and you want to buy the person behind you a meal, that's great. That's awesome, but don't do that with this $20. I'm serious, because what we're actually after is the face-to-face encounter. We do that. We love that. I mean, I've been a recipient of that. I've written down license plates hoping that I could find them, you know, and search them out and say thank you. And it's a great way to bless somebody. But what we're after is something bigger. And that's why we're asking you to hold on to it this week, because we'll give you a little bit more insight. But first and foremost, it starts with prayer and petitioning. And we heard some testimonies today that, again, are right in line with what Pastor Mike said, is that it ignites faith and hope. So did you stand with us? We're going to bless you, and then we're going to send you out this morning. And hopefully you'll come back next week so we can give you some more instructions about what this should look like or what this could look like in your life. If not, if you're visiting and not able to join us, God bless you. Online, if you're not able to join us in the room, call us, and we'll figure out a way to bless you as well. The other thing, too, to consider, and I meant to say this earlier, if you pray this week and you feel like, you know what, I'm not even going to attempt to do any of this, if you want, you can bring that money back and you can give it away. Or just know that we had no strings attached. This is in your hands, and we're going to trust that as you walk with the Lord, as you navigate life, as you ponder what to do with it, it's between you and the Lord. And if at the end of the day you feel like that $20 can go towards something in your life that is necessary, nobody's going to know unless we ask you specifically and you lie to us or you tell us the truth, whatever. But the bigger picture here is also stewardship, right? And we've done this in the past. I know Echo Hills, this is new, but Valley Christian Center's done this. Hope Chapel's done this. And we've had people come back and just send us back the money because it's like, you know what, I don't think I'm going to engage. And that's okay. And I'm sure other people have gone and forgot that. That's why we're saying keep it in the envelope. Keep it. Don't put it in your wallet. Because when you go out and you pay for something, it's like, oh, I got $20. I forgot I had that $20 in there. And you pay for it. It's like, wait a minute. That $20, you know, had a bigger purpose. So just hold on to it. Pray for it. Amen? All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Father, we declare that today that, Lord, it's not about just $20 in our hands, but, Lord, it's about an opportunity. It's about being messengers of grace, messengers of joy. It's about being messengers that walk in obedience to your Spirit. And, Father, I pray that this week as we're praying, as we're looking for opportunities, as we're seizing those opportunities, as we begin to discover what you want to do in us and do through us, that, Lord, we would be amazed. We'd be wowed. By Lord, what you are going to do. That, Father, we would truly bring joy. Not just money, but we'd bring joy. We'd bring the spirit of joy. We'd bring the life that we've found in Christ that brings joy. Father, that we'd look beyond ourselves and we'd start to serve others. We'd start to pour out into others. We'd start to give to others, Lord. And so we thank you for this opportunity. And I pray that each and every one of us in this room this week would begin to hear your heart for the men and women you've put in our life, that you've been loving on, that you've been sowing seed, that you've been shaping to receive the good news. Yes. Father, those that we've been praying for, interceding for, looking upon. Father, I even pray that this week, I just sense this, Father, that if any of us get a picture of a name or a person, and our initial response is, no way, they don't deserve it, then, Lord, I would even multiply what I give to them. Because, Father, if you brought them to mind, and that's where you want to direct it, then, Lord, deal with me. Because, Lord, it was a message of good news for all people. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.